The leaves were green when Marvin Abbott set up a cot near the edge of the street. Soon, he had a tent given to him by someone who heard his story on the news. Another man Abbott describes as a guy with a big truck and a big heart dropped off a big box.
Got you guys a heater so you guys could huddle around it and keep warm.
Since then, the leaves have turned to gold and scattered. And all the while, his daughter Rochelle remained in a coma. During that time, the hospital allowed Abbott to visit her three times. But most days, he sat on the curb and looked up at her window.
It makes it easier sitting here for me, being close to her. I don't know, I feel more in touch with her when I'm sitting here looking across. I know I should be up there in the room next to her holding her hand.
Most families with loved ones at Providence have not been allowed to visit, part of the hospital's strict policy to prevent the spread of the virus. So how did Abbott get to see his daughter? The hospital says the visits had nothing to do with his protest, but were allowed because doctors needed to ask him about his daughter's care.
We got another call.
This is the hospital.
Which calls every few days.
I'm doing okay.
Dr. Michael Bernstein is Providence's chief medical officer and says the hospital had hoped to relax its visitation policies, but with the coronavirus on the upswing, that's not likely to happen anytime soon.
It's all a matter of weighing the risks versus the potential benefits, and they're tough decisions to make, believe me.
Dr. Bernstein says there's a lot at stake.
We're also a major trauma center. We're the largest hospital in the state. If we had an outbreak amongst our staff, as has happened in other places and in one of our skilled nursing facilities, it can devastate our ability to provide any type of care to the community.
But for families with patients, the hospital's policy takes a toll. Marvin Abbott's mother, Lydia Olson, followed her son from Kodiak to Anchorage. And although she stayed with a family friend, she went to his camp every day in support.
He said, "Mom, I gotta go. I gotta do something." So he had a sign made with a picture of her in ICU. And it said, "Let me see her."
Lydia Olson listened in on her cell phone when her son visited the ICU.
He said he just talked the whole hour to her, reminded her of what a strong person she is.
Marvin Abbott says he constantly told his daughter how proud he was of her and all that she had overcome.
She got pregnant in high school and had a kid, and, you know, she never gave up. She graduated at the age of 20 almost. She was almost 20 years old when she walked and got her diploma, but she never gave up. She's always fought to the end, you know.
Abbott says Rochelle had a successful summer working on a fishing boat and at 26 had finally turned her life around. In his curbside conversations, he told her how much she has to live for and how much her 9-year-old daughter Izzy needs her mom.
I fully believe that it would be helpful for Izzy and Papa to get in to see Rochelle. I think their presence and their voices can do things that the doctors can't do for them.
People drop by Abbott's tent every day to tell him they thought it was wrong for the hospital to keep him from his daughter.
I just hope that you're able to keep high spirits.
Bailey Klappenbach dropped off a handwritten note for the Abbott family, one of hundreds of strangers who dropped by to offer encouragement. Bill Pagaran, a Tlingit drummer, came to sing a song of healing and asked Abbott to beat the drum along with him. Also encouraged Abbott to pray out loud, which Abbott said was the most helpful advice he'd had during this whole ordeal.
the outpouring of love and support and encouragement has been absolutely phenomenal. He knows he's not alone. So it became a thing about not only doing it for himself, but doing it for other people.
I'm Rhonda McBride.